radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is pointing us to nation. They say you better listen to the voice of reason. But they don't give you any choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. Everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. So you better listen to the voice of reason. But they don't give you any choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. Wonderful radio.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew at all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
And welcome to it. We are fully entrenched in Opposite World. Oh my goodness. If you tuned in early for the pre-show music, you heard a lot of songs about the media, and for good reason. We're going to get to that in the second half of the program. But we need to start right here where we've fallen through the looking glass and we are in Opposite World. So something happened yesterday. Have you heard? You know, I was going to start the show by asking what's new. Comey, James Comey is no longer... Yeah, he was ousted by the president yesterday, just about a month after he said he had full confidence in Comey. All of a sudden, he doesn't. You know, the things that the president was, loving about Comey during the campaign, immediately after the campaign, those are the reasons cited for the firing of James Comey yesterday. We're in the Twilight Zone. We are living in Opposite World. And then, you know, go figure, today, who shows up at the White House but Kislyak, the ambassador from Russia, and, oh God, what's the other name? Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, right? So there's a bit of a... hold on a second. There's a little press avail. You see Rex Tillerson and Sergei Lavrov is standing there, with the media in front of them. And, you know, they make a little statement and you hear the press is yelling out questions. And the woman you'll hear is Andrea Mitchell, I think. Hold on.
There you go.
Was he fired?
The U.S.
You are kidding.
it's hard to understand it, but she said something, will the firing of James Comey have any effect? Let me see if I can decipher it. Has the Comey firing put a shadow over your talks today or something like that? And Lavrov said, what? He was fired? You're kidding. Showing that he's a sarcastic asshole, too. Right? So then Lavrov, they walk out of the building. Lavrov gets in the car to go over to the White House to meet with Dump himself. Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, is having a meeting with Donald Trump the day after the FBI director is fired because, ostensibly because he was mean to Hillary Clinton. Although, more learned minds believe that it's because perhaps the FBI inquiry into Russian influence in the 2016 elections was getting a little too close for comfort. Hold on, callers. I'm going to get to you in a second. So so that happened, right? Russia is in town, not Russia itself, but the Russian representatives in town the day after Comey is fired. And now we learn that Comey had asked the new deputy attorney general, the guy who wrote the memo that allegedly was the basis for his firing, had asked him for additional funding for this investigation into the Russian interference in our election. It's all just a little too close for comfort. And guess what happens? Yeah, you guessed it. they go in there and, when the media goes into the Oval Office and they expect to see Sergei Lavrov with the president, who is sitting there, but Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, I'm not kidding. And of course, the press was shocked to find Kissinger sitting there. Kissinger? What? And I couldn't make this shit up if I tried. And so, of course, they ask him about the firing.
Why did you fire Director Comey?
Because he wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
Did it affect your meeting with the Russians today?
Excuse me?
Did it affect your meeting with the Russians today?
Will the new FBI director be in charge of the Russian investigation?
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. No, see, when asked if it affected his meeting with the Russians today, he didn't answer, and then the people shooed the press out. That's all you get. You get the one question, and he said the answer to the question was he wasn't doing a good job. This whole thing stinks. It stinks to the high heavens. I know a lot of people want to weigh in, so let's go right to the phones. We'll start with whoever this is from the 515 area code. Who's on the line?
Nicole, it's Mark. How are you doing?
Doing well, Mark. Hold on, 415. You're going to be next. 515 is up first. Who's 515?
Hello, this is Sanjeeva from Ames, Iowa.
Hey, Sanjeeva. How are you doing today?
Good. The FBI director getting fired is pretty odd.
Yep.
I mean, who knew that this world is this complicated?
Who knew? No one ever said it was going to be this difficult, right? It's hard work. So what do you think about it?
I had some friends who were Stein supporters, and to them I'm saying, how could it be this? I mean, I feel like this is just nuts. I mean, 100 days of Donald Trump feels like 100 years. I mean,
no kidding.
I think I'd take Hillary over this any day of the week.
Yeah, you know, for the whole lesser of two evils thing. And I believe that. And I still look, if it was Hillary Clinton in the White House, we'd be sitting here bitching about the people that she named to be her economic advisors and who she's brought in to surround her in the military. But it would be nothing compared to what we're seeing today. You know, I guess we need to learn to count our blessings, even when the blessings don't seem like such blessings when we're having them.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's all I had.
Thanks for the call, Sanjeeva. Okay, Mark is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Nicole. You know, I think what needs to be brought out is we need to challenge the legitimacy of this administration before any any type of legislation is done. We need to find out if our administration has basically the Russians have a hold on him for blackmail.
Well, that's the thing. That's what this investigation is about. And Comey put in a request to, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, the deputy attorney general, the one who wrote the letter, who is the one who directly oversees the FBI director, and certainly who oversees this investigation. Because remember, Jeff Sessions recused himself. Well, now you'll love this. I read this shortly before airtime over at Crooks and Liars, and they got it from Freak Out Nation, neither one of which would I take as the source. But what they use for sources are tweets from different people. So just bear with me for a second. They have a tweet from Kirsten Gillibrand that says, Attorney General Sessions lied under oath about meetings with Kislyak. One way to exert control after recusal is by getting rid of FBI director. Chilling. Then someone else tweets a statement by Michael Schmidt of the New York Times. He says Sessions was tasked last week with finding reasons to fire Comey. And here's the statement. Senior White House and Justice Department officials had been working on building a case against Mr. Comey since last week, according to administration officials. Attorney General Jeff Sessions had been charged with coming up with reasons to fire him, the official said. So for a week now, they've been trying to come up with a way to legitimately fire him. I believe it's because they're getting too close, right? So then,
they're getting too close.
Getting too close. So
and
the
this
new guy
administration is dirty.
Yes, the new guy comes in. He goes, "I know. We'll lay it all on the feet of the Hillary Clinton investigation because we all know that was bullshit, right? We all know it was phony. It was amped up. It was nonsense. And Comey really fucked it up. So they're going to use that as the basis. Well, anybody who's paid any kind of attention to this whole election season knows that Trump was using that to his advantage. In fact, his first day inside the Oval Office, remember they had a reception in one of the rooms, and he called Comey over, and I remember it because Comey towers above everyone else, and he like gave him a hug. He embraced him. But then this goes on. So just minutes after Comey was terminated from his position, Jeff Sessions leaves open the possibility of just killing the Russian investigation outright. That's from a tweet from Jennifer Jacobs, who writes for Bloomberg. Then she says, Dem Dick Durbin says AG not saying if it will continue the FBI investigation into Russia and possible links with Trump associates. And then there's this, Ken Delanian of NBC. Former senior FBI official tells me, quote, I believe the intent here is to replace him with someone who will close, end quote, the Russian probe. So this is what it's all about. This is exactly what it's about. And the problem is our side fucked up with the Republicans controlling both houses of Congress and the White House and now the Supreme Court. We just have to hope that there are a few Republicans with a conscience, a few moral Republicans who are who fear for the future of our nation.
You know what, Nicole? I think it's to the point where us as the progressives and the people that really care about this country need to start calling our politicians and tell them that we want an investigation. Independent investigation to find out if this is a legitimate administration or not, and if the Russians have the ability to blackmail our administration.
Every day.
That's national security.
Every day. I'll tell you what, I hold out no hope. Look, I've known Marco Rubio since he was Speaker of the Florida House. He used to come on my radio show occasionally. Obviously, he hasn't come on the air with me in years, but I'm going to start calling his office and asking for an interview. Marco Rubio, we know, has no love lost for Donald Trump. If anybody in the Senate, and Marco Rubio has aspirations to be president, as if you didn't know, if anybody's going to stand up to him, it might be Rubio. So look, if you're in Florida, call his office every day. Wherever you are, call your senators, call both of them, because if anything is going to happen, it's going to happen in the Senate. By the way, there's other breaking news today. ousted FBI Director James Comey has been invited to testify next Tuesday before the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's the panel led by Richard Burr, who came out very strongly against the firing, saying something's really fishy here, and Mark Warner, who today got on the TV and said he wanted to take back his vote in favor of confirming the assistant, what's his name, Rubenstein, that's his name, the deputy attorney general, the one who wrote the ridiculous memo that said, this is all about how Hillary Clinton was treated by Comey during the campaign. If you believe that, here I go again. I'm still trying to sell this swampy land just a mile or two from my house. Got lots of it.
Nicole, the other thing is Donald Trump wanted to stop Yates from testifying.
Yep. He was calling senators all the way up to the time the hearing started. Was it just yesterday or the day before? Days are running together on me. It was Monday. Trying to get them to cancel the hearing. Because you know it's getting too close for him. There are reports saying he yells at the television when the reports on the Russia inquiry come in. He's like, why can't we stop this? Why can't we get it to stop? The man is melting down. He's not the only one. By the way, Sean Spicer melted down apparently last night after the news broke about Comey's firing. He was outside of the White House. He was like in the bushes. They had lights on him. He was freaking out. And it comes at a time when, guess who guest hosts, hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend?
Who's that?
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, wow.
So,
you know, Nicole, only chance we have, I think, is all of us as Americans to just put the pressure on our politicians saying we got to get answers to this. This is outrageous. It's so obvious that this man is trying to squash this whole investigation, and it's really... It's up to us to really say we're not going to put up with it. We want answers.
We're not going to take it. No, they're putting the whole future of this nation at risk right now. What the stuff that's going on is truly reprehensible, really, really frightening.
I can't believe it. It's outrageous. And the Republican Party, I don't have any faith that they're going to try to do anything unless they're pressured and we implicate them as being part of it.
Well, this
and
is why.
Maybe then, they'll run from it. I don't know.
Well, you're in California, so, I mean, you've got two Democratic senators. You should still call them and keep the, you know, make sure they're hearing from us every day. But people in states with Republican senators, just like I'm going to do with Marco Rubio, need to get in the habit of calling their offices every single day, being really nice, being really reasonable and saying, you know, this is ridiculous already. I hope that, and what I'll say is I hope Senator Rubio will have the courage to stand up and fight for the future of our nation because democracy is at stake here.
You're right, Nicole. It is at stake. And not only that, but we have to say that basically this tarnishes the position of the president of the United States forever. If this kind of stuff goes on, it's tarnishing the presidency in this country. This man is a disgrace.
Oh, he's making
what he's doing is an outrageous act.
A complete joke out of the presidency. So did you hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders? I guess, you know, Spicy needed a mental health day today. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders did the press briefing. I didn't watch it. I can't listen to that woman. But apparently she said something along the lines of that they believe that the Russia inquiry is a waste of taxpayer dollars. Says the administration that's wasting money every weekend while this guy goes off to golf at another one of his properties, costing us millions and millions of extra dollars every week while he goes golfing. Like they give a shit about how much money they're costing the taxpayers.
These people, they have no conscience, these Republicans. They have no credibility. And the ones that say they're Christians, my God, it's such a hypocrisy.
As I say all the time, I'm an atheist Jew, and I'm more Christian than these people who wear their Christianity on their sleeves. It's unbelievable.
Well, thank you,
Mark,
Nicole.
Thank
Good
you.
Research on this. It's great.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
All right. You know, the other part of this is, and we mentioned it a lot last week, is that the president is talking about amending the libel laws. He wants to be able to sue the media if they say things like, anything that's insulting to the president. Even it doesn't matter if it's accurate or not. If he says something that's if somebody says something in an article or on a TV show that is uncomplimentary toward the president, he wants the opportunity to sue them. This is the president of the United States talking. He's talking about the First Amendment. Well, we have a crisis in the media. And it's worse than you know, because there's something going on that hasn't gotten any press at all. We're going to talk about it in a couple of minutes. Real quickly, one last phone call before I break. Who's this from the 561 area code? You're down here in Florida. Hello?
Yes, hi. Is this Nicole?
It is. Who's this?
This is Gretchen. I'm up here in West Palm.
Hey, Gretchen. What's on your mind today?
Oh, everything, Nicole, everything, you know, just like it's all on your mind. I'm just sitting here watching, listening, and wondering what next.
Yeah.
It's like, how many shoes are going to drop?
Right. We only have 5 feet here. You know, I guess there's 10 that have dropped
already. I
don't know,
maybe they're centipedes.
Maybe. It's very possible. I don't know. We just need to be vigilant. And you heard what I said about calling Marco Rubio's office.
Absolutely.
We need
to
be
a little spineless Marco. I don't know whether he'll stand up for the people or not. He doesn't even know how to stand up.
Right. Well, Bill Nelson of Florida says Democrats want an independent probe on Russia to be completed before the Senate confirms a new FBI director. Thank you, Bill Nelson. He's usually pretty spineless, but at least he spoke out here. We need to call...
Well, yeah, because he's a dino, isn't he?
He's not so much a dino. He doesn't really vote with the Republicans. He's more one of those sort of conservadems, middle of the road, backbencher, doesn't ever do anything, doesn't step out, certainly not a progressive. And I was looking forward to...
You know, he's an astronaut, I guess, so that's something.
Yeah, he's an astronaut. But Marco Rubio's office, we need to appeal to his ego, and we need to say that we need you to stand up to him. We need somebody with the balls on the Republican side to stand up to this madman who's going to destroy our country.
Right. Well, I was just talking to my neighbor, and it's like he's too young to remember Watergate, and I lived through it. And this is more frightening than anything. So
I hear you.
I just want to say thanks for doing what you do and putting it out there for people. And I'm sharing all these people, all these sites, all these progressives wherever I can and doing what I can. Every time I put a anti-Trump sticker on my truck 15 minutes after I'm in town, it gets ripped off. So
seriously. Well, you know, I'm down in Coral Springs, so it's a little more. I'm in Broward County, so it's not as bad as Palm Beach County. But I got Move On has resist stickers they're giving away. If you go to moveon.org, you can probably get one. I put it on my car. It's still there. I know my daughter likes driving
ready
in the car.
I'm about ready to paint signs on my truck just because, okay, try and take this off.
Right.
It's been great, and I'm going to let you get off and let other people talk with you, and I appreciate you taking my call, Nicole.
It's my pleasure.
Good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling, Gretchen.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you know what? We are going to take a quick break. Oh, this person's called in 3 times. Well, let's do this real quick. Hi, who's this?
Nicole?
Yes?
Tamara here.
Hey, Tamara.
Hey, listen. I am just having so much PTSD here because I was 13 when the Nixon mess went down.
Wow.
And my stepfather, who was my only father I ever knew, he said, if Nixon gets reelected, I'm leaving and going back to England. And when Nixon was reelected, he just packed up and went home.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And at 13, for me, it was so traumatic.
You know, this is...
I loved him.
I'm sure. And this is frightening. And I got to tell you, my kid, who just turned 18, is terrified that he's going to get us into a war and they're going to bring back the draft and she's going to be drafted. And I, you know what?
And now
I don't blame her.
I am just so freaked out that people aren't paying attention to history.
Yeah. Well, Americans especially have short memories. This is our job to remind them, to let them know. And, you know, we got to sound the alarms loudly and clearly. Tamara, I'm going to run.
They don't have short memories. They just don't give a crap.
Well, no, I think a big part of it is they do have short memories. And a lot, look, we've been dumbed down as a nation. This is, again, the Republicans play the long game. They've been working on this for decades. It's the dumbing down of America. They don't want you to know what's happened in the past. They don't want you to think for yourself. They want to call the shots and have you be nice little, little lemmings who just do what they say. Anyway, Tamara, I got to run because I want to get What's News in. And then we have a guest coming up. So you know what? We'll take a break. We'll do What's News. And it's all about the firing. So there's a lot of information tucked in that 6 minutes. And then we're going to come back with Isaiah Poole. Isaiah Poole of People's Action, to talk about a lot of things. But, you know, while a lot of us are thinking that we're witnessing the end of Fox, beware, because the people on the right are consolidating their media. And what could be an even stronger, more right-wing, nut-jobby, crazy loose television network is being formed. We're going to tell you all about that next. So don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. I read the news
today. Oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
There was actual breaking news on Tuesday afternoon.
President Trump has just fired the embattled FBI Director James Comey. In a statement, the White House said the president acted on the advice of both the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, and the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
That's right. On his 110th day in office, Donald Trump said,
"You're fired,"
to FBI Director James Comey. But that's not exactly how it went down.
The president didn't call him, the Attorney General didn't call him, the Deputy Attorney General didn't call him. He literally found out about it standing in front of a bank of TV sets at the FBI's field office in Los Angeles.
No, Donnie Boy didn't have the guts to do it in person. Instead, he sent his longtime private security guard to deliver the termination letter in a manila folder to FBI headquarters. But Comey was in California, so he didn't get the letter before seeing that he was fired on television. As for the letter, it was terse and to the point, with a strange paragraph stuck in the middle.
"While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau." Does everything have to be about him?
Yes, apparently it does, but more on that later. The letter concludes, "It is essential that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission. I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors." Cable news immediately sprang into action. CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin was on fire.
"It's a grotesque abuse of power by the President of the United States. This is the kind of thing that goes on in non-democracies, that when there is a investigation that reaches near the President of the United States or the leader of a non-democracy, they fire the people who are in charge of the investigation. I have not seen anything like this since October 20th, 1973, when President Nixon fired Archibald Cox, the Watergate special prosecutor. This is a political act when the president is under investigation, when his White House counsel was described yesterday as being told that his national security advisor was subject to blackmail by the Russians, and they fired the attorney general a few days later. Now they've fired the FBI director. I mean, what kind of country is this?
Why do you think he was fired?
Because the FBI is running an investigation of Donald Trump's campaign in Russia, and apparently it's getting too close for comfort. That's the only rational conclusion that you can draw from this firing.
The letter from Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein, on the job for a whopping 2 weeks, seems to be the impetus for the firing. The White House maintains that the president had been contemplating the action for a week, but the Rosenstein memo was dated May 9th, the same day Comey was dismissed. The odd thing is that its criticism was almost exclusively regarding Comey's handling of the Clinton emails case around the election, something candidate Trump applauded.
And I have to give the FBI credit. That was so bad what happened originally, and it took guts for Director Comey to make the move that he made in light of the kind of opposition he had where they're trying to protect her from criminal prosecution. You know that. It took a lot of guts. I really disagreed with him. I was not his fan. But I'll tell you what he did, he brought back his reputation. He brought it back. He's got to hang tough because there's a lot of people want him to do the wrong thing. What he did was the right thing.
Although most of the Democrats and some reasonable Republicans have had problems with Comey's performance over the past year or so, they're all left wondering about the timing. Politico is reporting that Trump, quote, had grown enraged by the Russia investigation, two advisors said, frustrated by his inability to control the mushrooming narrative around Russia. He repeatedly asked aides why the Russia investigation wouldn't disappear and demanded they speak out for him. He would sometimes scream at television clips about the probe, one advisor said.
From Russia with love.
Comey was not fired because of Hillary. Comey was fired because of the Russians. The timing makes this, I think, entirely clear. The fact that all during the campaign, Donald Trump kept citing Comey and using Comey. Once he was elected, he embraced Comey. And now to turn around months later and say, oh, yeah, that was just terrible. Nah, come on. There's nobody left in America who believes that Donald Trump fired James Comey because James Comey was mean to Hillary Clinton.
Elizabeth Warren, expressing what most of the Democrats are saying and universally calling for
an independent special prosecutor.
Think a special prosecutor, special counsel, independent counsel.
They have to appoint a special counsel.
We need a special prosecutor right now.
As the Senate convened for the first time since the firing on Wednesday morning, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell ruled out a special prosecutor. While the nation is still digesting the news, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is in D.C. After a meeting with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on Wednesday morning, Lavrov showed the media the contempt he has for them and that he masters sarcasm.
The Comey firing cast a shadow over your talk, gentlemen.
Was he fired?
The U.S. Court.
Yes.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
And then Lavrov got in a car to take him to meet with the president. Stay tuned.
Strange day indeed.
What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener-funded, and we really need your help. Please contribute or find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
All right, I promise we're going to talk a little bit about the media, and for good reason. There's a story simmering. It's actually happening, and you probably haven't heard a word about it, but that's what we're here for. So to help me break the story to you, I've invited Isaiah Poole to join us. He's a veteran journalist, editor, and a progressive activist. He's the communications director for People's Action. It's a grassroots organization with affiliates in 29 states, and the former editor of OurFuture.org. You've heard a lot of the writers from OurFuture.org here on this program, which is now a project of People's Action. Isaiah, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. For a long time, I've wanted to get you on, and this is the perfect thing to talk about. We're on a couple of listservs together, and I saw a post that actually our mutual friend Gaius Publius bumped up to the top of something that you wrote about Sinclair Broadcasting agreeing to purchase Tribune Broadcasting. And if my my research is correct, it went through. Sinclair is going to get 42 television stations, including Cable's WGN, which is a superstation, Tribune Studios, the news talk radio station WGN in Chicago, and a bunch of other stations, TV and radio around the country. What most people don't know is they know the name Tribune because of the newspaper group, but they don't know who Sinclair is. What I said earlier in the program is that while Fox may be floundering a little bit and some people are thinking it may be the end of Fox so-called news as we know it, what's possibly being built right beneath our noses is a bigger, badder, and by badder, I mean worse, more far right wing and just horrendous network of right wing media outlets. Am I overstating that at all?
I don't think you're overstating it at all. Sinclair is a outlet that is known for creating anti-progressive, anti-Democrat party, so-called news packages, and then requiring all of their affiliated stations to run those packages doing local news broadcasts. So they've done that. In fact, they had commissioned a piece against John Kerry when he was the Democratic nominee for president. They have done this against Hillary Clinton in the 2016 race. They have done anti-Obama packages in the 2012 race. So there is a long history of them interjecting themselves into presidential races using their newscast to sway elections, literally.
Right. Now, we remember that, like, Hillary the movie, remember, that's the whole thing that Citizens United was based on. Sinclair TV stations ran that movie, right? We remember when, what was her, Karen Hughes, I think was her name, who worked in the Bush White House, would do these fake news stories. That was the original fake news, wasn't it? Those packaged things that the White House would put together and pretend that they're news when they were propaganda, even though we allegedly have laws against propaganda. And they, Sinclair, will air these things. They are as partisan as one can get. But it used to be that they were limited as to how many television stations they could own because there were limits. But Bill Clinton changed all that in 1996, didn't he?
I would roll the clock back even further.
Oh, really?
To the time when the community obligation regulations that the FCC used to enforce. In other words, TV stations used to have an obligation to, because they were using public airwaves, to have fair and balanced reporting and community service.
Yes. In fact,
and,
you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but I studied broadcasting. I've been in radio my entire adult life, which is longer than I care to admit.
Yeah, so you remember that.
So I had to take broadcast law. There was a thing called ascertainment, where every radio station, television station in the country had to have an ascertainment officer and somebody who went out in the community, spoke to community leaders to ascertain the 10 most important issues facing that community. And then they had to put in their public file what those 10 issues are and the programming that they're airing to address them. They were charged when they had to get their license renewed in showing how they operate in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. That's how it was delineated. All that stuff was wiped out, and actually some of the provisions maybe were erased sooner, but they all went away under the 1996 Telecommunications Act. So they don't have
to.
And in fact, localism is now kind of a dirty word. If you talk to Republicans about bringing back local media, they're like, don't talk to me about local things. Like, that's a bad word.
Exactly right. And now we have, because of this, we have this, you know, Leviathan that is now, once the Tribune deal is officially closed, it's not officially closed yet.
Right.
There's an agreement to purchase that we presume will be rubber stamped by the current Federal Communications Administration, which is run by a conservative named Ajit Pal.
Ajit Pai, right?
Pai.
Ajit Pai, right.
And, yeah, and... you know, and then we're going to have this Leviathan that is in roughly 70% of the local markets in the country.
Yeah, I want people to hear that. 70% of the country. That's, I mean, that might be greater than Fox's penetration, because Fox, again, was cable, and you have to pay for the cable to get it. These are over-the-air television stations they're talking about, right?
Yeah, and one of the quirks, one of the really bizarre quirks in this was that there was a change in the rules. The Obama administration, you know, if you think back to the old back in the day when you had to actually turn the dial on your television, you had there was UHF and VHF.
That's right.
Right?
I remember. I'm old enough.
And you know, because the UHF, which were the higher channels,
right, 14 above 13, and above, right, right,
yeah, above 13. Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be that when you counted audience for the purposes of antitrust, when you were entered into these consolidation deals, you get to count 100% of the audience on the VHF dial, but only 50% of what was on the UHF dial, because presumably it was harder for people to get those channels, you know, et cetera.
Right.
The Obama administration wiped that rule out and said, audience is audience. It doesn't matter whether it's a UHF audience or a VHF audience. It's all the same, and you have to count all of that audience. And the reason they had that rule was precisely because most people today watch their TV, local TV, through a cable subscription,
right?
Not over the air. So they, you know, only about 20% of the country is using, you know, antennas. Most of the country watches it through cable, so it doesn't matter whether your channel is, you know, 2 or 22 or 222.
Right. And now also everything is digital. So the UHF, VHF thing is gone because they're digital. And if you, because I have hooked up an antenna to see what happens, and you get these digital channels. Some are higher numbers, and then there's like, you know, channel 10-2, 10-3, 10-4, because they're digital. Right. So there's a lot more available just on the regular dial. Sorry.
Right. So what the Trump administration just did just very recently was went back to the old rule, which is that if you are a UHF channel, you get to only count 50% of that audience against your cap. And that's how Sinclair is able to get one of the ways Sinclair is able to get away with this.
Wow. Well, you know, the other thing, again, we're speaking with Isaiah Poole. He's from People's Action at peoplesaction.org, and you can follow Isaiah on Twitter at LJ Poole with an E on the end.
IJ.
It's IJ. Sorry, I knew that. See, just like you said, Ajit Pai, Isaiah, of course, it's an I. And it's only Wednesday. So IJ Poole. Sorry about that. So I guess there are still some kind of ownership caps, although it's nothing near what they used to be. It used to be, back in the olden days when I got into radio, one company could own 7 a.m., 7 FM, and 7 television stations, period. That was it around the country.
Right.
And then, again, in 96, thank you, Bill Clinton, the ownership caps were lifted, and now it has to do with a percentage of the market coverage, I guess. There are also cross-ownership rules in place that most of them have been done away with, too. Now, this Tribune deal with Sinclair only covers broadcasting. Tribune also has a newspaper group. It's the Chicago Tribune. It's the L.A. Times. It's the South Florida Sun Sentinel, where I live. This doesn't include the newspapers, but there are a number of groups trying to get waivers to allow them to own both TV, radio, and newspapers in the same market. And the danger of that is, of course, you've got one voice controlling most of the media. And I submit the only reason we have Donald Trump in the White House is because he was saturated in the media, first from The Apprentice, and then with all the free so-called news coverage that he got during the campaign.
Yeah, and, you know, there is an argument that there is a seductive argument that because we have all of these online outlets, we have Facebook, we have your ability to use the internet to push a radio show that won't get on, you know, terrestrial radio.
Right.
That we don't need a lot of those rules. The reality is that we quickly saw, even with the internet and with all of the possibilities that the internet opens up, we have seen rapid consolidation of the internet. So now most of our internet content is filtered through just about five major corporations: Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And you know, so in that sense, and we have the loss of net neutrality rules, which we're kind of trying to push back.
Yes, and that's the other thing. On Sunday, I don't know if you saw it, but John Oliver did it again. He had a brilliant segment, took up most of the show, on calling for everybody to go. I'm trying to remember what the URL is now. Go FCC yourself, I believe is what it is, which takes you right, gofccyourself.com takes you right to the page where you can fill in the public comments, your comments. But Ajit Pai has already said that his ruling is not going to be based on public comments, but more, you know, corporations' needs. I don't think he said it in those words exactly, but that's basically the sentiment. We need to be as loud as possible. I mean, I don't know what we can do to fight back against the Sinclair deal. Is there anything?
There really isn't, short of not watching a Sinclair station, which actually I have done, or at least not watching their news operation. The Washington, D.C. affiliate, WJLA, in the nation's capital, also has an outlet called News Channel 8. They had very early on said that they would use News Channel 8 as the platform for an eventual nationwide conservative news outlet. They have not quite done that yet, but I don't know if that plan is completely off the table. They seem to have been perfectly happy with creating these, you know, these commentaries that are must-run commentaries and news, conservative news packages that every station in the Sinclair network is required to run.
That's something mm-hmm. people need to stop down and hear that. Again, when it was just, say, a network, ABC, for instance. ABC owns so many stations. You've heard owned and operated, the O&Os. Mm-hmm. Again, it used to be limited to seven. Now I don't know how many each network owns, but there are limits. But with Sinclair, the way this would work is they would own these stations. The stations that are network affiliates, say of any of the big networks of ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox, they're offered programs, but they don't have to run them all. They may be offered commentary. They don't have to run them all. I think they do contractually have to run their nightly news program and maybe one or two other things to be an affiliate. But Sinclair is putting all kinds of other, you know, you must do this on them. And they can do it because they're going to own the stations outright. They're not just affiliates. They're owned and operated stations. Do I have that right?
And here's the other thing.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing is that These are conservative voices that are being pumped out, but liberal and progressive voices are not. So liberal and progressive voices will be, you know, they'll show up in sound bites in their programs. They may even be guests at a talk show. But, you know, if you're a guest at a talk show, your host is going to be a right-wing talk show host. If you end up as a soundbite in a story, it's going to be counteracted by the dominant voice, which is a conservative voice. So there is not – it is being filtered through this not through a news prism, but through an ideological prism.
Mm-hmm. No, dude, that's exactly right. There is a test, as it were. And you know, for all the talk of the liberal media, you know, I put together a directory of sorts. It's still there. If you go to theliberal.media, it gets you to a directory of actual credible left-leaning media sources, shows like mine, blogs like ourfuture.org, and you know, and things like that. It's a small list, and I'm sure I'm missing some. And everybody, if you see that I'm missing something, email me and we'll put it on the list. But you could never
even. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Since you compiled that list,
yeah, right.
Let me ask you: is there a newspaper on that list that has a circulation greater than 100,000?
No. There's not a. Is there a daily newspaper?
A TV network on that list.
Nope.
Well, that gets to the core of the problem.
That's right.
You know, we are not on an equal playing field here.
Not even close. Look, the fact of the matter is, I've studied broadcasting in college. I graduated in 1981. I've been doing this for a long, long time. I've had great success. I was on the air in New York City, in Los Angeles. I've had a career. I can't get arrested on the radio anymore. When it comes to music radio, of course, it's an ugly wasteland of corporately programmed dreck. There's no creativity anymore, unless you go all the way to the bottom, the left hand of the dial where the public stations are, and there's no money there. And in terms of talk radio, it's all right wing crazies. It's really sad. I worked here in Miami. I hosted the morning show on then Progressive Talk WINZ. When they realized they were going to flip to sports, as Clear Channel did with pretty much all of their Progressive Talk stations over the course of a few years, they knew it was coming. They were just waiting for their Fox Sports license to run out on another station. They actually replaced me on a Progressive Talk station with Imus because they could get him for free for 6 months. I mean, this is the contempt they have for the listener of these stations. They didn't give a shit, and they knew, and there were protests, and they knew it would die down after a couple of weeks, which it did, and they just go on. The only good news is it looks like Clear Channel is this close to going belly up. They're talking, you know, they syndicate Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck's radio shows. They may not be able to pay those guys anymore pretty soon. But they'll find other outlets. And mm-hmm. you know, shows like mine, I have to struggle and beg for money so I can keep going because I'm 100% listener funded.
Which gets to my beef, and you've probably seen my rants on listservs before, which is that the progressive movement writ large needs to wake up to this. That we need to invest in information infrastructure. We need to invest in radio hosts like mm-hmm. you. We need to invest in newspapers. We need to invest. We need to, when we see an opportunity to buy a set of TV stations, why don't we just buy a set of TV
yes.
stations? We blew untold amounts of money. And I'm a big fan. People's Action, one of the things that we do is that we are preparing candidates to run for public office.
Awesome.
But knowing that, let me say this. We blow tons of money. We meaning, you know, there's the infrastructure of, you know, political consultants and contributors, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of money that gets sunk into political campaigns. that becomes ineffectual because we have not laid the intellectual messaging groundwork. We have not really educated the voters. There is not the sort of fertilization of the intellectual ground for these campaigns to actually work, even when the campaigns are fundamentally good campaigns, because we just get outgunned by the Sinclairs and Foxes of the world.
Well, that's right. And the media, I mean, it gets into people's homes, in their cars. That, you know, radio is the most personal of all media. It's the reason I got into radio when I was a kid. TV was too impersonal for me. Radio is a one-on-one thing, except with the chat room now, there's groups of people listening together. But really, radio is one person talking to one person, is the one person getting up and ready for work in the morning or driving into the office, you know, or home each day, and you develop a relationship. They are, when they control the media, they get into your mind. And again, on the right, they fund it. You know, when Rush Limbaugh couldn't get any advertisers because, you know, my pal Angelo Carasone was alerting advertisers to the crap he was saying on the radio, and there was a big boycott. You remember it. It wasn't only Angelo. It was a lot of people. The people that still bought advertising, there were issues advertising running. When, you know, I used to fill in for Randy Rhodes. Well, when her show was the only progressive show that was syndicated by Premier Radio, which is the syndication arm of Clear Channel, now iHeart Media, or as I put it, iHeart Media. They, you know, right? And so when when the advertisers pulled out because they didn't want any controversial programming, it hurt the few remaining progressive shows that were on the air too. Well, the right-wing shows still got advertisers because it was all issues advertising because the deep pockets on the right were spending money to advertise. On the left, we have some very, very wealthy people who don't support us. They don't support my show. They don't support others like mine. They don't support progressive media. And without media, we're doomed.
Thank you for saying that. I think we really need to figure out ways of hammering home that message. Now, you know, one of the things I'm doing, you know, we have ourfuture.org, and it's right now on it's also very, you know, let's call it optimistically lean and hungry,
right?
But it is very lean and very hungry right now.
Yep. And you have some and great people writing over there.
Yes, but you know what we need to do right away is figure out how to get it sustainable financially over the long term, or it will die.
That's right.
Now you know, so but what I want to do is see the entire progressive media infrastructure rise and come up with some strategies where we can get the attention of guys with big pockets.
Yes.
You know, we've been living off the little guys for a long time on $10 and $15 donations.
That's how I live.
Yes. But that's not enough.
Nope. No, it isn't. Well,
and you know, when I see what was poured into the 2016 campaign and was wasted, that could have been invested in shows like yours and in sites like mine.
Yep.
You know, it's a shame.
It is a real shame. I mean, look at $1 billion, you know, was spent or close to it by the Clinton campaign for what? I mean, Howie Klein is on the show every Thursday, and we've spent a lot of hours talking about the money that's made from the Democratic consultants, and it's on both sides of the aisle. The consultants who then get the TV commercial made and then do the buys, and, you know, so much money is spent, and that's where the money goes, by the way. It goes to media. It goes to those big media outlets. Did they advertise on my show? Hell no. They go and advertise on the Sinclair stations because they want to reach the right wingers who maybe they can win over one or two of them. But they spent so much money, and a lot of it goes to the consultants who get the ads produced and then do the media buying. So much is wasted and so much goes to the middlemen instead of going to the people who are actually these days making the media and trying to, you know, chopping wood and carrying water for the candidates, and we don't get anything. So there's a real disconnect. And the trick for me is, how do we get to the people with the money?
That's exactly right. But I think we just have to do it. We have to keep banging the doors. We have to keep showing how the right won. And one of the things that People's Action does is that it tells a story about how the right won this level of control over people's minds over the last 40 years. As a part of talking about how we need to win them back.
Right. And well, this is going to be a long-term project. Isaiah Poole, I hope, if you want to get on this, I'm there with you. We need numbers to build a movement. We need to make this an important movement too. We need to support our media, because if we don't, we're going to just be inundated with the message from the right, and it's an ugly one, and they're leading there. Isaiah Poole, find him on Twitter at IJPoole with an E on the end. PeoplesAction.org is the website. Of course, OurFuture.org is a great blog. Support them. And Isaiah, it was great talking with you. I hope we can do it again.
Be my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. So, watch out for the name Sinclair Broadcasting, because they are going to be invading 70% of our homes. Again, I don't know that there's a way to stop them. You can go to gofccyourself.com, and please do, and make a comment about net neutrality, because that's another thing that's breathing down on me. But it's important. And with that, we are done for today. So let's see. We already played What's News. So I will leave you with a song. We'll just go back to it. If you heard it on the pre-show music, I apologize, but I'm sure you won't complain. It's the great, late, great Gil Scott-Heron, and The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lifes of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.